You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Freaking moment. Let's go win it. Let's go.
I'm trying to win. Don't care how I do it. Just know that I did it.
Suns have swept the Denver Nuggets. The Suns are going to the conference finals.
I did it. I did it. I did it.
A couple years ago, they was writing me off. We got a great team over there, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it. We're going to keep playing hard. Now we're going to get some rest.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people! What they want.
We have two huge games to get you ready for tonight. We have the Bucks evening the series against the Nets, but we start with the Phoenix Suns completing a sweep of the Denver Nuggets. The MVP is out of the playoffs because the point guard made his presence felt. Jalen, what do you think of the Suns?
Everybody's got a little light under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. Ain't no in the bubble. Booker was terrific. Monty Williams, talent development with Bridges, with Ayton. You add CP3, you add Crowder. Now all of a sudden, casual start watching the Phoenix Suns play and they say, CP3 is underrated. Where y'all been? Didn't you just hear Jacoby call him the point god? Don't you see him on a signature commercial more than any NBA player doing and selling insurance as Cliff Paul with his kids for the last decade? Didn't you watch him with the Oklahoma City Thunder? And you know the beauty of his game, Jacoby? What? The lost art of the mid-range.
Yep.
Actually playing with intellect, high assists, low turnover, getting to your spot like it's a drill. Right elbow, bang, zigzag, single pick off the top, bang, staggered screen off the top, right elbow, bang. And I notice a common denominator. The MVP is the second screener. Jokic, the stretch mark five, who became the MVP. Our king, he was involved in the action. He was featured in the action. You know what he did? He got frustrated. He got frustrated watching Chris Paul score 37 points without making a three, without attempting a three, a point guard doing that. And for those looking at that play, let me tell you guys something. For anybody that's ever been in a fight, for anybody that's ever played basketball, that's the equivalent of throwing a punch with the Joker did. We can play all the shenanigan games. Now, I am old school. Today's rules to me are soft. But let me tell you a couple of things that those rules say in the bylaws. That was not a basketball play. That was not a necessary play. It was unsportsmanlike. It was above the shoulders.
Yep.
He could have broke the man's nose, okay? It was unnecessary because he was frustrated because they were already down 3-0 and they were about to get swept. You must keep your composure. You can't quit on your squad. You got to be out there on the floor when y'all lose to give those daps on the court like the MVP. He will learn from that, and he won't put himself in that position. That was the only time he's ever been in that position. But for Chris Paul and for Devin Booker, it was terrific leadership and guard play. The Phoenix Suns. Wallace! Wallace! Wallace, where's my broom? See, I'm on the road. I was more worried about my pick. I was more worried about my frames. Where's my broom? In all honesty, great season for the Nuggets. You're not getting far. without Jamal Murray in the Western Conference playoffs.
They definitely needed Murray. About that Jokic play, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. You could tell he was frustrated from not getting some calls. You could tell he was angry. It wasn't really a basketball play, as you mentioned. And by the laws, if you hit someone in the face, they always, always come down on you. And with Jokic or without Jokic, they were not winning that game. They were not winning this series. They really did miss Jamal Murray and the Monte Morrises and the Rivers and all those contributions they got in their previous series against the Blazers that just did not get against the Phoenix Suns. Now, you mentioned Chris Paul, and he deserves to be celebrated, but we also need to celebrate Devin Booker. Book had himself a great series. It just seems like he's really flourishing off the ball. And you have him as one of your top five under 25. What made you do this list, and where do you have Booker on it?
Here's the beauty of Booker on being on any list. This is his eighth season, dog. He's on an under 25 list, is already have a 70-point game, is in the conference finals as a sweep, and he's still under 25 years of age. Luka Doncic, he just solidified himself to me, is just all-worldly. Jason Tatum just elevated himself as being one of the best clutch performers in the league, has been with the Celtics, hit three conference finals, and Donovan Mitchell has just been fantastic for the Utah Jazz. Last year's playoffs, this year's playoffs, Devin Booker's right there. That last spot, Jacoby, that last spot, I like to play king of the court, and Trae Young has it for right now, but Ja Morant is standing right behind him. You see that Hawk emblem right behind him? That's Ja Morant. I gave the spot to Trae Young just because his team got to the second rounds and Ja Morant's didn't. Even though I was a guy that was picking them to actually win in the play-in and make the NBA playoffs.
Well, Jalen, that series was a sweep. It looked like the Nets were headed toward a sweep and they were up 2-0, but the Bucks have come back. They evened the series using some defense from PJ Tucker and some good play from Giannis. Jalen, how have the Bucks evened up this series?
This time of the year, the catalysts are your superstars, and Giannis continued to attack the paint without settling. It's easier to do it when your team is getting stops and or rebounds, so he get plays like this in transition. Broken floor situations where they don't get a chance to truly form a wall. And that's why he had a career high in the paint with points. So it starts with Giannis. But the second thing I want to say, I want to go to PJ Tucker.
Yep.
See, in the first game, he had 0 points, but his plus minus was 11. Plus 11. He played fantastic. Jrue Holiday only had 9 points in the previous game. He actually was fantastic. And you know how they were fantastic? Defensively. I have never seen anybody guard Kevin Durant this well. I know they weren't necessarily, they were planning for Harden to be out, weren't planning for Kyrie to be out, so their offense got a little stagnant and tried to force it to KD. But he was picking him up 94 feet sometime. He was forcing him to the left side sometime. He was getting underneath him. I saw him contesting shots. I saw him block. When the last time you seen somebody block one of Kevin Durant's shots?
A jump
shot. I know
they
called the foul, but it wasn't a foul. It wasn't a foul. You can do that when you're familiar with a guy, you're really up on him, and you're taking away his airspace. And then right there when you do it, KD tries to get the contact, and you frustrate an all-time great player. So PJ Tucker, who would have thought that he'd go into a playoff game and make more three-pointers than Kevin Durant? He was outstanding.
He played great defense. However, the story of this game is the Kyrie Irving injury. As you mentioned, they knew they were going to be without James Harden, who is progressing, according to Steve Nash. But now we have Kyrie Irving out, and they put everything on KD. Jalen, a couple things. Number one, can the Nets win Game 5 without Harden or Kyrie Irving? And do you think there will be some discipline from Giannis because of him not allowing Irving to land?
Rest in peace to the king, Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba. And when I did that to him in the 2000 finals, I wasn't asked about it after the game. Nobody realized that I intentionally did that. I wasn't proud of it. I didn't think it was cute. I didn't think it was cool. So that's why the basketball gods paid me back. by allowing me to be out there when Kobe Bryant scored 81 points. So after that happened, I came on this show and I told the world about it. I told the world about it. And let me tell you something right now. I can't just look at the lens of when I grew up playing and when I played, when I analyzed whether the Joker should have got a flagrant two or not. Because when I played, I know that wouldn't have been a flagrant two. But the rules are different. The same for this play with Giannis. And I guarantee you, in my Charles Barkley voice, shout to the OG. This offseason, the NBA is going to make sure that they outlaw this play, not only for the jump shooter, in particular the three-point shooter, the Kawhi Leonard, Zaza Pachulia play also. They're going to make sure that they acknowledge that this should be for players inside of the paint, inside of the three-point line also. Now, I don't believe Giannis' intention was to wake up yesterday and hurt Kyrie Irving. But what I do think, as a seven-footer, when you run in there to grab the board, Jacoby, there's a level of real estate that you occupy. And you don't necessarily have to go underneath Kyrie Irving to get the rebound. He's right in front of the rim. As a matter of fact, it's a layup, and he made the shot. Again, Giannis is not a dirty player. But this is, like I said, with the Joker. This was an avoidable incident. And so, therefore, retroactively, they don't go back and give him a flagrant. Watch in the offseason, this becomes a point of emphasis. 3-2-1. Is it at the bottom of the ticker yet? Did Woj tweet it yet?
It will be.
I guarantee you, they're going to make it a point of emphasis.
Jalen, we have another update on Aaron Rodgers. This time it is Packers CEO Mark Murphy, who says that Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella. Jalen, why would he do this and what does he mean?
This is irrelevant for him to do if your goal is to have Aaron Rodgers return to your team. And then I start thinking about something. Aaron Rodgers is complicated. So very complicated. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and a heartbreaker to my Detroit Lions. Look at this, Jacoby. I think this was Matthew Stafford when he left the team, except he had to play seven more years after that. I think that was Megatron's final game. He just dropped to his knees on that play. So if you want to Hail Mary and have Aaron Rodgers return, Packers fans, fix this. The guaranteed money. He should not be on this list. Jimmy G, he wanted his job. Carr, Chucky hasn't committed to him. Roethlisberger going to get taken care of by the Steelers. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing for his 32nd team in the NFL. Take care of Aaron Rodgers if you want him to return.
It is not complicated. The man just wants his money. Jalen Rose, we have two of the most exciting stars in the NBA facing off tonight. Of course, I am talking about Joel Embiid, runner-up in the MVP race, and Trae Young, who's making his mark on the playoffs. We'll break that down and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen
Rose. Peace up. A-Town down.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yeah. coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have two big games tonight in the NBA playoffs, and we start with the Western Conference matchup between the Utah Jazz and the Clippers, vying to take on the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Donovan Mitchell has been the story of this series. However, he hobbled himself, hurt his ankle in the last one. How important is it that he performs for the Jazz?
It's extremely important. You don't advance without Donovan Mitchell. Hopefully, they get Mike Conley back, because that now limits D. Mitch's usage. I like when he has the ball in his hands primarily, but he still also is going to need that other person besides Ingles and besides Clarkson to initiate offense, so he could be the recipient of somebody creating for him. And so I think that usage also is what wears him down sometime, because at 6'2", he performs like he's 6'8", and he's extremely fearless. He's a terrific three-point shooter, and he's clutch. And on the other side for the Clippers, they got Kawhi Leonard and PG in particular to show up when they needed them to.
Yep.
Because Paul George, and I was asked this question by Jay Will on Countdown, is he a superstar? It's not a diss for a player like him to be a great player, an all-NBA performer, but not quote-unquote considered a superstar. As a matter of fact, if you're counting, they're probably quote-unquote maybe 10, we'll do a list one day, superstars, but he has the ability to perform like one. And when you call yourself Playoff P, now people are looking. When you team up with Kawhi Leonard, people are looking. When you're in the MVP race in OKC and they give up four first-round picks to get you,
yep,
people are looking. And so this was a big game, and it was great to see that him mix his game up. That's what I want to see more of. He's an improved ball handler and creator for others, but I want to see him playing more lockdown D and finishing at the hoop. Kawhi, don't worry about Kawhi. Kawhi. We already know what to expect from Kawhi.
Yep. Moving on to the other matchup, this one in the Eastern Conference in Atlanta between the 76ers and the Hawks. Jalen Rose, I heard you're going to be at this one. I heard you're going to be in the building for this one.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy birthday, Gracie Rose, who turns 15 today. I'll be at the game with the Notorious One, and we're going to see if they can slow down Joel Embiid, who's been dominant. Ben Simmons, who's been attacking, and their perimeter defensive ferocity of Simmons and Thibault, and the offensive productivity of Harris playing defense against Trae Young. They've smothered the fella. He and Bogdanovich, they're getting blitzed. These guys are using their length. They're contested. They're trapping. Obviously, they're going to miss Danny Green's minutes, but not necessarily in this series. But for the Hawks, here's what happens. And our OG director, Tommy, taught this. Basketball isn't just a game. It's a religion. And I've been ordained. I'm a deacon. And the further that you advance in the playoffs, the more your weaknesses are going to show. You can't necessarily have injuries like Jamal Murray. And you know what else? This is where you miss the potential of a guy like Cam Reddish. This is where you miss DeAndre Hunter, because those 6'7", 6'8" guys can pile up on Bogdanovich and Trae Young because they don't have an athletic wing that they need to guard. And so Gallinari's a little bit older, and he's not going to give you that, you know, that lateral movement. So now all three of those guys can load up on those two guys and look at the difference between game one versus game two and three.
Jalen, we adopted the Cardinals because we love Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. However, Kyler Murray grew up in Texas, and he was asked why he wasn't a Cowboys fan. And here is what Kyler Murray had to say, and I quote, "They were always bleep." Jalen, what do you think about Kyler Murray not rooting for the hometown team because they were not up to snuff in his mind?
You know, Kyler Murray's our guy, and we got to get him back on the show. And I distinctly got to ask him, I want to show him the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary play against my Lions and show him that didn't stop me rooting for my team. So did you not root for your team because they were what you said they were? Or are you a David Jacoby? Were you one of those guys that was die easy?
Yeah.
I need to find this out.
There's more of us out there than you think. There are more die easy fans out there than you think, and Kyler Murray might just be one of them. But right now, he's a Cardinals fan, and so are we. Jalen Rose, Yankees fans have not had too much to cheer about so far this season, and Aaron Boone is not happy. How long will he be the manager in the Bronx? You're watching Jalen Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees, and they are not winning, and he is not happy.
Do you sense there's a fatigue in the dugout, maybe a complacency as these losses pile up where guys are just almost getting used to losing here?
No.
Why not?
I know them too well, and I don't think there's any getting used to freaking losing. Hell no. Get the hell out of here with that.
Unhappy Aaron Boone. Jalen Rose, will he continue to be the Yankees manager throughout this season?
I believe he lasts throughout this season, but watching the Yankees struggle, I came front. They came to Detroit, and we got out the Wally's brooms on them real quick, too. We got some of that, too. I need to wonder how Reg the Ledge and his pops are doing right now. Diehard Yankee fans. I know the struggle's real.
Well, it's been a tough weekend for Yankees fans, but it was a great weekend for the students and the scholars of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. What happened this weekend?
I'm so very fortunate that completing our 10th school year, JRLA had a 7th graduation. We now currently serve 1,000 young people currently in high school and secondary education. I'm extremely proud of our 2021 graduates and our leader, our principal, Lewis, our founding team, all of our donors, our parents, and our staff. Forever grateful.
We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. Mr. Rose, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about the NBA and the playoffs, but there's a couple things that happened over the weekend that we need to discuss. Number one, Lamar Odom beat up Aaron Carter. And I'm so glad I didn't pay for this thing. I'm sure you saw the video, but that was not even competitive. Not even competitive. It didn't even look like boxing.
And real quickly, while you mentioning former NBA players, I have to say this to Glenn Big Baby Davis. I love you, young fella. You're not a part of the Celtics ownership group. Like, the fans and everybody, I'm pretty sure, appreciate your contributions to the wins that they had and the championship that y'all garnered. But don't let Lucky lose your humanity for one of your NBA brethren in Kyrie Irving because you feel like he stepped on the logo at a Boston Celtic game. And then a fan threw a water bottle at him. Like, that's just going a little too far. So I just hope that the brakes get pumped on that energy. What you're saying about Lamar Odom is when NBA players and or a Floyd Mayweather does a fight for charity or does a fight for show or does what events like this, my first thing for him is I was happy that he didn't get knocked out. And then I realized that the guy that he was fighting was 25% of his size and weight. And it reminded me of why boxing has weight classes, because the other guy didn't come up to his waist.
Nope.
And so I I didn't see the fight. I saw the result of the fight. But one thing I want to tell, like, athletes out there. When you're training, right? I've done a lot of training in the gym, Jacoby. I've been around some of the best technique. I've been in the boxing gym with James Toney. I've been in there with Michael Moore. I've been in there with Freddie Roach. I've been in there with Emmanuel Stewart when I was young. Now, I can go on and on and on about my love for boxing. But the one thing that training doesn't do, those pads and that heavy bag, they don't hit back.
No, they don't punch.
So, like, when you training and you punching and you kicking, I'm telling you, I've done it. You snap, 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 pow, pow, pow. You get the feeling yourself. You like, pow, 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 pow. You start, pow, 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 pow. I'm like, I'm going to have to post this. Like, pow, 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 pow. They're like, no, I'm not. These pads don't hit back. And I just know as the competition improves, his ability to take body shots is going to be exposed. So I give an over-under to two or three more fights like this where they can sneak and let him get his money and get his likes up and get his, like, trends up type of thing. But the public stupidly is going to pay for it two more times. And then the third time, he's going to have to get in there with somebody. And then it might be trouble, trouble, trouble. But shout out to the good fellow lefty. I got love for him.
I also want to give a shout out to Nate Diaz, who didn't win the fight but won the night at UFC 263. Did not win the fight but won the night. He got bloodied by some elbows. But in the last minute of his fight, he wobbled his opponent. And after the fight, he invited everybody to his house to kick it. Like, Nate Diaz is the people's champion. He's lost his last two fights, but he wins every time he loses.
And also, like, when you do what they do for a living, I was thinking this when I was watching Clarissa Shields fight. Like, that's that level of combat, dog. I don't want somebody punching me at all. Like, if you push me or punch me, like, you have an enemy forever. Like, seriously. If you want an enemy, you want to upset me, put your hands on me. Like, you can tweet whatever, you can IG whatever, but, like, just imagine being somebody like Nate Diaz that is great as what he does. Like, Drake even used this as an example in an interview that Nate Diaz is one of his favorite athletes. And he said that if you look at his record, though, he took a lot of L's.
Yep.
Right? He's taking a lot of L's, right? He's not an unblemished fighter, if you look at his record. But what that means, and it's a life trait, we all gonna deal with turbulence and, in theory, fight a lot of battles that become wars in our own minds and our own lives and circumstance. So how you deal with them is what makes you a champion. See, like, a lot of people look at Chris Paul this postseason and like, oh, he a champion. People look at Dame Lillard now, and they appreciate these players now. This is the first time in modern era that I've been covering sports that it seems like media and fans starting to have more awareness to not only judge players by ring counting.
Mm-hmm.
Those two players have embodied it the best for me. Now you have to sit back and evaluate. When Chris Paul is now slotted amongst the all-time greats, it's going to be people that jump up and say, well, he ain't got as many rings as... And now they're going to be a generation of people who say, but wait a minute. They're going to look at Dame in Portland and say, but wait a minute. They're going to look at Nate Diaz and say, wait a minute. So I appreciate him living his best life. And looking at the party, I'm just mad we weren't invited. We got to start going to events again.
He invited everybody to come to his crib. Everybody's coming to his crib. Big shout to Nate Diaz. Smoking weed in the press conference. Well, Jalen.
More than once. He's done that like the last few fights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One time he said it was CBD. It was like, Nate. You're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling anybody, Nate.
Can I just say something, Chris Paul, though, for real? One other thing before you get to the Chris Paul point. And this is an urban legend. This is an urban legend, everybody. This is an urban legend. This is from a comic book kid. Comic book kid. I smelled the ganja. I smelled the reefer. I smelled it burning. I'm the youngest in my family. I had two older brothers that had the red and blue police light in the basement and the shingles hanging from the ceiling and the incense burning. I went to school with one of those feather clips that used to keep the roaches on and put it on my belt loop and thought it was cool and got in trouble from the teacher because I didn't realize what it was. I was one of those kids singing Mary Jane and didn't know what Rick James was talking about. Okay? I was one of those kids. And let me get to Nate Diaz's offense as a basketball player. There was an urban legend when I was young that the secret behind the longevity of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Robert the Chief Parrish was medicinal.
Oh, Chief, for sure.
It was an urban legend. I don't necessarily know if it was true. I wasn't there. But sometimes when you get packages on your front porch and you get disciplined for them, that feed the legend. You know, and your nickname is Chief. Sometimes that might feed the legend. We had one on the Detroit Pistons, James Edwards. His nickname was Buddha. I figured that out when I was growing up. I was like, okay, got it. So there may be some medicinal benefits for you athletes out there, but I'm only talking to you adults in particular. Not condoning, not promoting. Urban legend.
I've seen some stuff. If Chris Paul wins a championship, then is he blankety blank blank? And I just want to say, Chris Paul doesn't need to win a championship. Chris Paul does not need to win a championship to be considered anything. Like, it's a team sport. He has been a consistent top point guard in the league for, it seems like, two decades already. For real.
Absolutely. And see, he's also Jacoby breaking another norm that I appreciate. See, that's why sometimes if you're around long enough, you can appreciate some of the change that happens around you. And again, for Dame and CP3, to me, they embody two players that force fans and media to now sit back and analyze their ring counting judgment of players. And that's important. And CP3 checks another category for me, Jacoby. He don't have Russell Westbrook eye-popping stats.
No. Or Dame
like a great Chris Paul.
He don't have the 30-foot threes like Dame and Steph Curry either. Like, if you notice, ever since he hurt his shoulder in these playoffs, he's not even shooting threes. And he doesn't even shoot it. He doesn't finish at the rim either, like Kyrie does or Curry does.
Correct. And that was very smart. Exactly. And that's the second place I was going. He doesn't have the eye-popping stats of a Russell Westbrook, but he doesn't have the unlimited range of Dame, Trae Young, and Steph. So what ends up happening is he don't have all of the rings. He don't have the unlimited range. He don't have the eye-popping stats. So now I actually got to watch him and assess his game. What a noble thing. I can't just look at the box score.
My favorite stat about Chris Paul is not what he does.
And see that 23.
Is what he doesn't do. No turnovers. Doesn't turn the ball over.
Correct.
That has the ball in every possession.
And when I look down at the stat sheet and I see his 23-12, I know that that's 35-15 because of what you just said. No turnovers and great leadership. That puts those stats on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat what I just said. His 23-12 is equal to a 35-15 because of no turnovers. That's an equal. And also, the art of the mid-range. He had the audacity to make 10 mid-range shots in a playoff basketball game. You're defying all of the analytics, Chris Paul. Oh, man, I remember I did an interview in the New York Times maybe like 7 years ago, and, oh, man, the analytics people were had their undies in a bunch. Like, what is it called when you pick somebody up by their underwear again? I used to do that.
It's a wedgie, Mr. Rose. It's called a wedgie.
A wedgie. Yeah, I used to do that, too. I'm not necessarily proud that I did that, but I had it done to me as well. I had it done to me first before I realized I should be doing it. And so, yeah.
You're hilarious. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is always doing podcast-exclusive content, but we want to hear from the people. We want to hear from you. Our favorite content is when you call in and your voice is on the show. So you can call 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this one.
Hello, hello. This is Emily from Kansas, and I listen to your podcast every day for the last 4 years probably. I was wondering what you think about – there's been a lot of openings in the NBA carousel coaching, obviously. And a name that doesn't get brought up as much as I thought it would be Becky Hammon. I want to see her get a job really bad just to see a female, and I think she's very qualified. I think the best spot for her is Boston right now. But I was wondering your opinion. What do you think? Is she going to – do you think she'll get a job this year? Or if not this year, do you think she'll ever end up getting a head coaching job? I appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you do. Peace.
Great question from Emily. There are currently 4 or 5 open positions in the National Basketball Association for head coaches and Becky Hammon. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I know what Becky Hammon is like as a coach. I'm not at the practices. I'm not in the huddle. I can't evaluate what she is like as an assistant coach, but I do know this. Popovich relies on her. Popovich puts her as the summer league coach. Popovich puts her as the coach when he is out. So to me, if Popovich co-signs you, then you must have some talent and you must know what you're doing, which is why I think she should be in consideration for some of these empty positions. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love, appreciate the support. And if you've been rocking with us for the last few years, please hit us up. We need to send you a hoodie. We need to send you some J&J merch. Because we do the show podcast exclusive, go deeper into the box score. I talk about giving people wedgies on the show for people just like you. So thank you very much. I remember having this conversation a couple of years ago because I'm trying to make sure I don't get too inside pool with this. Shout to Monty Williams. For those that don't know, what he and his family and his children have overcome with him losing his wife to a car accident is truly tragic. And when that happened, Monty stepped away from coaching, and rightfully so. And by no means would I be the person to try to rush him back into the game. But I knew of his potential because we're the same age. I played against him in college. Just like Juwan, I knew of his potential. So when I come on this show before John Beilein loses his job and I say Juwan should get the gig, if you really knew me, and Jacoby vouched for this. If I didn't think my brother was ready, I wouldn't put him in front of a firing squad. I wouldn't do that. But I knew he was ready. And for Monty, the exact same thing. He had shown that he could be a terrific coach in the league. And he also, Jacoby, and that's where I'm going with Becky Hammon, is a disciple of Coach Pop. Like many execs and coaches around the league. And as jobs kept opening up, I needed to make sure that I was respectful of mentioning Monty's name in those openings, because I didn't, nobody, he didn't, I'm sure, know if and when he'd be emotionally and psychologically ready to return and be a head coach in the league. You and I know the stress that comes with that. You're hired to be fired at that job. And I remember the Lakers gig in particular. It was one or two before that. It was like the Clippers. I don't know. I don't recall which one. It was the Lakers gig, and it was the Knicks gig when they came up. And this is where, like, I'm being true to my analysis, because Frank Vogel went to the Lakers and won a championship.
Yep.
Coach Tibbs went to the Knicks and was coach of the year. So it is not like those people that I suggested Monty get the job over didn't do a good job. But today, if you ask me between those three coaches who I would rather have for the next 10 years, it would be Monty.
Probably.
Without question. And so now that he's back in the game, he did something with the Phoenix Suns, first off, that Tibbs did with the Knicks, that World Wide West, that Scott Perry, that Leon Rose, that they did with the Knicks, is first off, you gotta not allow James Dolan to get in the way and interfere with business. And that's what they needed to do in Phoenix with Robert Sarver. Both of those guys are considered the two of the least likable owners in the NBA.
Thanks.
You could just Google why. This isn't a Jalen Rose revelation. I'm not breaking news here. If you've been around the game. And this also comes from a person. I played my final two seasons for those teams consecutively. So I would know. And Monty being back and nurturing Bridges and nurturing Aiden and nurturing Booker in the bubble was the freaking magic of sports, was the magic of life. Because they went into the bubble and gathered around, boys and girls. They knew that they could win every game and still not make the playoffs.
That's exactly what happened.
And they still went out and performed like each game meant everything. You remember Devin Booker making that turnaround game-winning shot?
Of course.
The jubilation that they played with. And what ends up happening is Kyrie sits back and watches Spencer Dinwiddie. Shout to Dinwiddie. I'm going to be a person in the media to keep his name alive.
Yep.
Because he may be a factor in these injuries with the Nets. And the other thing is he really got game, and they did a good job by keeping him. And based on the timing of the trade is what allowed them to keep him. And he's going to be a free agent next year. He'll look nice in a Pistons uniform. So now you nurture those young guys. He ain't just meet Chris Paul, y'all. I got to tell y'all a secret. One of the reasons why I knew he would be a great head coach when he came back to the league, because of the job he did when he was coaching Chris Paul. There was a time in Chris Paul's career, boys and girls, where he's an MVP candidate playing for New Orleans.
Yep.
His head coach was Monty Williams. So now if you're the New Orleans, you look back at you look at CP, you look like Anthony Davis. Those were the best human beings in their past before the Zion era, leading up to the Zion era. So now, Becky Hammon, being a disciple of Pop's tree, to your point, gives her credibility. But like Monty Williams, there are some coaches that have been head coaches in the league, and like Monty got another chance, and now it's proven that it's not only deserved, but he's taken it to another level. I want to now see a couple of former players also get an opportunity. One comes to mind, Chauncey Billups with the Portland Trail Blazers. I would like to see him get that job. Penny Hardaway, Orlando Magic. He's coaching in college right there at Memphis. That'd be a great opportunity. You know what would make us talk about the Magic? Penny Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's not going to make us talk about the Magic? Whoever else they might hire. And when you look at their roster, all seriousness, look at their roster. Here's why I say he's the person for the job, actually. They got young guards that need nurturing. They have Hampton. They have Fultz. They need to see what those players are. They're going to need to draft. They're going to need to nurture young players. He's the guy to do that. So now you're looking at a couple of other jobs. For the Boston Celtics, she should be a legitimate candidate for that job.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you multiple reasons why, but I'll give you the most important reason why.
Why is that, Mr. Rose?
Because the Boston Celtics as an organization has the sustainability in the history of not having to just hire somebody and make it like it's championship or bust. Because newsflash, while the Celtics have seventeen championships, they only won one since Larry Bird retired.
Yep.
Let me repeat that. When Larry Bird
one
retired?
One time.
So I'm a Pistons fan, and just for the record, Boston Celtics fans, since y'all drafted Larry Bird until right now, the Pistons got as many championships as y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they got four and we got three. They got four and we got three. So, they got one more. I stand corrected, OG. But the point still stands. So, in Boston, of course, you have the historic brilliance of everything that they accomplish. But their roster needs construction.
Yep.
The other job that's available is, you know who else I want to see get a chance? Jamal Mosley. Let me give everybody a name. He's the assistant coach of the Dallas Mavs. He's on Rick Carlisle's staff. You ever heard of a guy named Luca?
Yep.
You ever heard of him?
Okay. Yes, I have. I'm familiar.
That's who's watering those seeds every day. Okay? And so I would like to see him get an opportunity when I watch the Dallas Mavs seemingly overachieve and watch Luka out there limping and Porzingis posting about being Unicorn 2.0 when we haven't seen Unicorn 1 yet. And Tim Hardaway needing to, you know, like score 35 points in order for them not to get blown out. Like, that's Rick Carlisle and that's Jamal Mosley. So I would like to see he get an opportunity as well, along with Becky, along with the other guys that I mentioned. And last but not least, I am not going to go a summer without mentioning Mark Jackson's name. I am not going to go a summer doing it. I did this for Nate McMillan. Look back when the Pacers fired Nate McMillan, Jalen and Jacoby Shoals. I wasn't happy.
That was a weird, remember they just extended him? Something happened. Something happened with Nate McMillan and the Pacers.
I was not happy when Nate McMillan got fired by the Pacers. And I also said they were going to regret it so much that they're going to fire their current head coach after 1 year.
They did. And now they're searching for a coach.
And that happened.
Mr. Rose, you will be up close and personal with Nate McMillan.
I got one more. I will be at the Hawks game tonight, and I got one more name. I got two more names. I'm going straight NBA insider for you guys. Sam Cassell.
Yep.
Sam Cassell, longtime player, longtime coach, currently on Doc Rivers' staff. Darvin Ham, currently on Coach Bud's staff. They haven't got to the NBA Finals, but all I know is Giannis has won two MVPs, and they've been really good for consecutive years. They surely have. And I got one more. When you watch the Phoenix Suns, Wallace, the Denver Nuggets, Willie Green. He was with the Warriors when they were really successful. And you know what Monty Williams did when he got the job? He snatched him quick.
Mm-hmm.
Snatched him quick. And when you see CP3 come to the bench and somebody in his ear yelling at him, because I see that happen like 9 times this year, I really be watching. And going back and forth and talking to Cameron Payne? Dog. Cameron Payne is out here balling in the NBA playoffs. He was out of the league. Now the Suns got some of the best guard play in the playoffs with CP3, Booker, and Cameron Payne. So that's your update for the NBA's top hires pending, according to Jalen Rose and David Jacoby.
Only get that on Jalen and Jacoby podcast exclusive content. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
I'm going to the Hawks game tonight. Happy birthday, Gracie Rose. I love you very much. You turning 15 on this day. The notorious G Money was born. As you know, my family is ATL, 10 toes down, 20 years in running. And Trae Young fans to the fullest. So we will be at the game to celebrate her birthday. And Jacoby, to celebrate,
what?
I might even have a beverage or two.
To celebrate Gracie's birthday and the Atlanta Hawks trying to even the series in the A. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Rose.
I get to go as a fan. You know, I purposely don't want. I purposely not on the front row because I ain't want to spend $10,000 a ticket for four
Too
tickets.
Much.
So
Too
like
much.
In the 100s. You know, I spent like $1,500 each. You know, to get me in the 100s. You know what I mean? It's my daughter's birthday. I could have hit up Grant Hill for the VIP, but I ain't want to hit up homie. You know, they in the playoffs second round for the first time. You know, I'll hit them on a Wednesday when I want to go see Melo Ball come to town. I ain't going to hit them up, what I'm saying?
No.
Game 4 or 5 of the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Well, get Gracie something nice.
So
get Gracie whatever she wants today, bud. Anything she wants.
Exactly. Whatever she wants. Anything she wants. Yes, indeed.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.
Give people what they want.
Appreciate you.